The 23rd word. This word contains two chapters. In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Indeed, we have created man on the most excellent of patterns. Then sent him down to the lowest of the low. Accept those who believe and do good deeds. 95-4, 6. First chapter. First point. Through the light of belief, man rises to the highest of the high and acquires a value worthy of paradise, while through the darkness of unbelief, he descends to the lowest of the low and falls to a position fit for hell. For belief connects man to the all-glorious Maker, it is a relation. Thus, man acquires value by virtue of the divine art and inscriptions of the dominical names which become apparent in him through belief. Unbelief severs the relation and due to that severance the dominical art is concealed. His value then is only in respect to the matter of his physical being. And since this matter has only a transitory, passing, temporary animal life, its value is virtually nothing. We shall explain this mystery by means of a comparison. For example, among man's arts, the value of the materials used and that of the art are entirely different. Sometimes they are equal, sometimes the material is more valuable, and sometimes it happens that 5 liras worth of art is to be found in material like iron worth 5 kurush. Sometimes, even, an antique work of art is worth 1 million while the material of which it is composed is not worth 5 kurush. If such a work of art is taken to the antiques market and ascribed to a brilliant and accomplished artist of former times, and announced mentioning the artist and that art, it may be sold for 1 million liras. Whereas if it is taken to the scrap dealers, the only price received will be for the 5 kurushas worth of iron. Note. 1 para is 1/40th of a kurush, 100 kurush is 1 lira. Thus, man is such an antique work of art of Almighty God. He is a most subtle and graceful miracle of his power whom he created to manifest all his names and their inscriptions, in the form of a miniature specimen of the universe. If the light of belief enters his being, all the meaningful inscriptions on him may be read. As one who believes, he reads them consciously, and through that relation, causes others to read them. That is to say, the dominical art in man becomes apparent through meanings like, I am the creature and artifact of the all-glorious Maker. I manifest his mercy and munificence. That is, belief, which consists of being connected to the Maker, makes apparent all the works of art in man. Man's value is in accordance with the dominical art and by virtue of being a mirror to the eternally besought one. In this respect, insignificant man becomes God's addressee and a guest of the sustainer worthy of paradise, superior to all other creatures. However, should unbelief, which consists of the severance of the relation, enter man's being, then all those meaningful inscriptions of the divine names are plunged into darkness and become illegible. For if the Maker is forgotten, the spiritual aspects which look to him are not comprehended, they are as though reversed. The majority of those meaningful sublime arts and elevated inscriptions are hidden. The remainder, those that may be seen with the eye, are attributed to lowly causes, nature, and chance, and will become utterly devoid of value. While they are all brilliant diamonds, they become dull pieces of glass. His importance looks only to his animal, physical being. And as we said, the aim and fruit of his physical being is only to pass a brief and partial life as the most impotent, needy, and grieving of animals. Then it decays and departs. See how unbelief destroys human nature and transforms it from diamonds into coal. Second point. Just as belief is a light which illuminates man and makes legible all the missives of the eternally besought one inscribed upon him, so too it illuminates the universe and delivers the past and the future from darkness. I shall explain this mystery with a comparison I saw during a vision, which concerns one meaning of the verse. God is the protector of those who believe, he leads them out of darkness into light. Quran 2-257. It was like this. I saw in a vision an awesome bridge built between two high mountains situated opposite one another. Beneath the bridge was a valley of great depth. I was on the bridge. A dense darkness had enveloped every part of the world. I looked to my right and saw a vast grave swathed in an unending dense gloom, that is, I imagined it. I looked to my left and as though saw violent storms and calamities gathering amid terrifying waves of blackness. I looked beneath the bridge and imagined I saw a profound abyss. I had a dim torch in the face of this terrifying darkness. I used it and could see a little with its light. A truly horrific situation appeared to me. In fact, such awful dragons, lions, and monsters appeared around me and on the bridge in front of me. I wished I had no torch and had not witnessed those horrifying things. Whichever way I shone it, I felt the same horror. I exclaimed. This torch brings me only trouble. And I angrily cast it to the ground and broke it. Then on smashing it, the darkness suddenly dispersed as though I had turned on the switch for a huge electric lamp that lit up the whole world. Everywhere was filled with the lamp's light. It showed everything as it was in reality. I saw that the bridge I had seen was a highway through a plain passing over even ground. The vast grave I had seen on my right I realized consisted from top to bottom of beautiful, verdant gardens and gatherings for worship, service, conversation, and the remembrance of God under the direction of luminous men. The precipices and peaks on my left which I had imagined to be tempestuous and stormy I now saw fleetingly to be a vast, lovely, and elevated place of feasting, recreation, and enjoyment behind mountains that were adorned and pleasant. And the creatures I had thought to be terrifying monsters and dragons, I saw were familiar domestic animals like camels, oxen, sheep, and goats. Declaring, "All praise be to God for the light of belief," I recited the verse. God is the protector of those who believe, He leads them out of darkness into light. Quran 2-257. And I awoke from my vision. Thus, the two mountains were the beginning and end of life, that is, this world and the intermediate realm. The bridge was the road of life. To the right was the past, and to the left, the future. As for the small torch, it was the human ego, which is egotistical, relies on what it knows, and does not heed the heavenly revelation. The things imagined to be monsters were the events and strange creatures of the world. Thus, one who relies on his ego, who falls into the darkness of heedlessness and is afflicted with the blackness of misguidance resembles my first state in the vision, which, like with the pocket torch and due to deficient and misguided knowledge, saw the past in the form a huge grave amid darkness imbued with non-existence. It showed the future to be a stormy and desolate wasteland governed by coincidence, and events and beings, which are all submissive officials of one all-wise and all-compassionate to be monsters. Such a person as though manifests the verse. And those who reject belief, their protectors are the evil ones, they lead them out of light into darkness. Quran 2-257. But if such a man attains to divine guidance and belief enters his heart, and if the tyranny of his soul is smashed and he heeds God's book, he will resemble my second state in the vision. Then the universe will suddenly take on the color of day and be filled with divine light. The world will recite the verse. God is the light of the heavens and the earth. Quran 24:35. Then, he will see with the eye of the heart, that the past is not a vast grave, but where the groups of purified spirits, who each century having performed their duties of worship under the leadership of a prophet or saint exclaim, God is most great. On completion of the duties of their lives, and fly to elevated abodes, moving on to the future. He will look to the left, and through the light of belief distinguish in the distance a feasting place of the Most Merciful set up in palaces of bliss in the gardens of paradise, beyond the mountainous revolutions of the intermediate realm and the hereafter. And he will realize that the storms and earthquakes and tempestuous events are all submissive officials, and understand that they are the means for instances of wisdom which though apparently harsh are in fact most gentle, like the storms and rains of spring. He will even see death to be the introduction to eternal life, and the grave, the door to everlasting happiness. You can deduce further aspects for yourself. Apply the reality to the comparison. Third point. Belief is both light and strength. Yes, one who acquires true belief may challenge the whole universe and be saved from the pressure of events in accordance with the strength of his belief. Saying, I place my trust in God, he travels through the mountainous waves of events in the ship of life in complete safety. He entrusts all his burdens to the hand of power of the absolutely powerful one, voyages through the world in ease, then takes his rest in the intermediate realm. Later he may fly up to paradise in order to enter eternal happiness. Otherwise, if he does not rely on God, rather than flying, the burdens of the world will drag him down to the lowest of the low. That is to say, belief necessitates affirmation of divine unity, affirmation of divine unity necessitates submission to God necessitates reliance on God, and reliance on God necessarily leads to happiness in this world and the next. But do not misunderstand this, reliance on God is not to reject causes altogether, it is rather to know that causes are avail to the hand of power and have recourse to them. Knowing that attempting causes is a sort of active prayer, it is to seek the effects only from Almighty God, recognize that the results are from Him alone, and to be thankful to Him. Those who place their trust in God and those who do not, resemble the two men in this story. One time two men loaded heavy burdens onto both their backs and heads, and buying tickets, boarded a large ship. As soon as they boarded it, one of them left his load on the deck and sitting on it guarded it. The other, however, since he was both stupid and arrogant, did not put down his load. When he was told, "Leave that heavy load on the deck and be comfortable," he replied, "No, I won't put it down, it might get lost. I am strong, I'll guard my property by carrying it on my head and back." He was told again, "This reliable royal ship which is carrying you and us is stronger, it can protect it better than you. You may get giddy and fall into the sea together with your load. Anyway, you will gradually lose your strength, and by degrees those loads will get heavier and your bent back and brainless head will not have the power to bear them. And if the captain sees you in this state, he will either say that you are crazy and expel you from the ship, or he will think you are ungrateful, accusing our ship and jeering at us, and he will order you to be put into prison. Also, you are making a fool of yourself in front of everyone. For the perceptive see that you are displaying weakness through your conceit, impotence through your pride, and abasement and hypocrisy through your pretense, and have thus made yourself a laughing stock in the eyes of the people. Everyone's laughing at you." Whereupon the unfortunate man came to his senses. He put down his load on the deck and sat on it. He said to the other, "Ah! May God be pleased with you. I've been saved from that difficulty, from prison, and from making a fool of myself. O man who does not place his trust in God. You too come to your senses like that man and place your trust in him, so that you may be delivered from begging before all the universe, trembling before every event, from pride, making a fool of yourself, misery in the hereafter, and the prison of the pressures of this world." Fourth point. Belief makes human beings into human beings, indeed, it makes them into kings. Since this is so, their basic duty is belief and supplication. Unbelief makes them into extremely impotent beasts. Out of thousands of proofs of this matter, the differences in the ways animals and man come into the world are a clear indication and decisive proof. Yes, these differences show that humanity becomes humanity through belief. For when animals come into the world, they come complete in all points in accordance with their abilities as though having been perfected in another world, that is, they are sent. They learn all the conditions of their lives, their relationships with the universe, and the laws of life in either 2 hours or 2 days or 2 months, and become proficient in them. Animals like sparrows and bees acquire in 20 days the power to survive and proficiency in their actions that man only acquires in 20 years, that is, they are inspired with them. This means that the animal's fundamental duty is not to be perfected through learning and progress by acquiring knowledge, nor to seek help and offer supplications through displaying their impotence, but in accordance with their abilities to work and act. Their duty is active worship. As for man, he needs to learn everything when he comes into the world, he is ignorant and cannot even learn completely the conditions of life in 20 years. Indeed, he needs to go on learning till the end of his life. Also, he is sent to the world in a most weak and impotent form, and can only rise to his feet in 1 or 2 years. Only in 15 years can he distinguish between harm and benefit, and with the help of humankind's experience attract things advantageous to him and avoid others that are harmful. This means that man's innate duty is to be perfected through learning and to proclaim his worship of God and servitude to him through supplication. That is to say, it is to know the answers of the questions. Through whose compassion is my life so wisely administered in this way? Through whose generosity am I so kindly raised? Through whose graciousness am I so delicately nurtured and ministered to? It is to beseech and supplicate the provider of needs through the tongue of impotence and poverty, since he cannot himself meet even a thousandth of his needs. It is to seek from him. It is to fly to the high station of worship and servitude to God on the wings of impotence and poverty. This means that man came to this world to be perfected by means of knowledge and supplication. In regard to his nature and abilities, everything is tied to knowledge. And the foundation, source, light, and spirit of all true knowledge is knowledge of God, and its essence and basis is belief in God. Furthermore, since man is subject to endless tribulations and afflicted with innumerable enemies despite his boundless impotence, and suffers from endless needs and has innumerable desires despite his boundless poverty, after belief, his fundamental innate duty is supplication. As for supplication, it is the basis of worship of God and servitude to him. In order to secure a desire or wish he cannot obtain, a child will either cry or ask for it, that is, he will supplicate through the tongue of his impotence either actively or verbally, and will be successful in securing it. In the same way, man is like a delicate, petted child in the world of living creatures. He has to either weep at the court of the Most Merciful and Compassionate through his weakness and impotence, or supplicate through his poverty and need, so that the things he wants may be made subject to him, or he may offer thanks for their being made so. Otherwise, like a silly child who creates a fuss over a fly, he displays ingratitude for the bounties, saying, "With my own strength I subjugate things it is not possible to subjugate, and things 1,000 times more powerful, and I make them obey me through my own ideas and measures." Just as this is contrary to man's innate nature, so he makes himself deserving of severe punishment. Fifth point. Belief necessitates supplication as a certain means of securing needs. Both human nature has an intense desire for it, and Almighty God decrees, "Say, My sustainer would not concern himself with you but for your supplication." Quran 25-77. Which has the meaning of, "What importance would you have if you did not offer me supplications?" He also commands, "Call upon me and I will answer you." Quran 40-60. If you say, "We frequently offer supplications, but they are not accepted." But the verse is general, it states that every supplication is answered. The answer. To answer is one thing, to accept is something quite different. Every supplication is answered, but its being accepted and exactly what was sought being given is dependent on Almighty God's wisdom. For example, if a sick child calls the doctor, saying, "Doctor, doctor," and he replies, "Here I am, what do you want?" And the child says, "Give me that medicine." The doctor will either give him exactly what he asks for or something better and more beneficial for him. Or knowing that medicine is harmful for his illness, he will give him nothing. Thus, since Almighty God is all-present and all-seeing, he responds to the supplications of his servants. Through his presence and response, he transforms the desolation of loneliness and solitude into familiarity. But he does this in accordance with the requirements of Dominical wisdom, not in accordance with man's capricious and importunate demands. He gives either what is sought or what is better than it, or he gives nothing at all. Also, supplication is a form of worship and recognition of human servitude to God. The fruits of this pertain to the hereafter. The aims pertaining to this world are the occasions of a particular sort of supplication and worship. For example, the prayers and supplications for rain are a form of worship. Drought is the occasion for such worship. Worship and supplications of this sort are not in order to bring rain. If they are performed with that intention alone, they are not worthy of acceptance, for they are not sincere worship. Sunset is the time of the evening prayers. And eclipses of the sun and moon are the times of two particular prayers known as Salat al-Kusuf and Salat al-Kusuf. That is to say, with the veiling of the two luminous signs of the night and day, God's tremendousness is proclaimed, so he calls his servants to a sort of worship at those times. The prayers are not so that the sun and moon will be revealed whose appearance and how long the eclipses will continue have anyway been reckoned by astronomers. In just the same way, drought is the time for the prayers for rain, and the visitation of calamities and infliction of harmful things the times of certain supplications when man realizes his impotence and through his supplication and entreaty seeks refuge at the court of one possessing absolute power. Even if the calamities are not lifted despite many supplications, it may not be said that they were not accepted. It should rather be said that the time for the supplication is not yet over. If through his graciousness and munificence Almighty God removes the calamity, light upon light, then the time for that supplication is over and done with. That is to say, supplication has the meaning of worship and man's acknowledging his servitude to God. As for worship and servitude to God, it should be purely and sincerely for God's sake. Man should only proclaim his impotence and seek refuge with him through supplication. He should not interfere in his dominicality. He should leave the taking of measures to him and rely on his wisdom. He should not accuse his mercy. Indeed, what is in reality established by the Quran's clear verses is that just as all beings offer their own particular glorification and worship, so it is supplication that rises to the divine court from all the universe. This is either through the tongue of innate ability, like the supplication of plants and animals through which they seek their forms from the absolute bestower and to display and manifest his names. Or it is through the tongue of innate need. These are the supplications for all their essential needs, beyond their power to obtain, offered by animate beings. Through this tongue, the animate beings seek certain things from the absolutely generous one for the continuance of their lives, like a sort of sustenance. Or it is supplication through the tongue of exigency, through which all beings with spirits who find themselves in some plight or predicament make supplication and seek urgent refuge with an unknown protector. Indeed, they turn to the all-compassionate sustainer. If there is nothing to prevent it, these three sorts of supplication are always accepted. The fourth sort of supplication is the most well-known. It is our supplication. This too is of two sorts. One is active and by disposition, and the other, verbal and with the heart. For example, having recourse to causes is an active prayer. To gather together causes is not in order to create the effect, but through the tongue of disposition to take up an acceptable position in order to seek the effect from Almighty God. To plow a field is to knock at the door of the treasury of mercy. Since this sort of active supplication is directed towards the absolutely generous one's name and title, it is accepted in the great majority of cases. The second sort is to offer supplication with the tongue and the heart. It is to seek certain wishes which the hand cannot reach. The most important aspect, the most beautiful aim, the sweetest fruit of this is this. The person who offers the supplications knows that there is someone who hears the wishes of his heart, whose hand can reach all things, who can bring about each of his desires, who takes pity on his impotence, and answers his need. O impotent, indigent man! Do not neglect a means like supplication, which is the key to the treasury of mercy and to an inexhaustible strength. Cling to it. Rise to the highest peaks of humanity. Include in your supplications those of all the universe, like a king. Say, from you alone do we seek help. Quran 1-4. As a universal servant and deputy representing the whole universe. Be on the most excellent pattern of creation.